Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 2. After his shower, then breakfast, canned beans and a sandwich made with seagull meat, Andrew put his armor and boots on and looked at Feline while gathering his supply bag.
Are you ready? I thought we'd swing through North Beach today, see how many we can clear out.
I'm ready. Feline had already dressed, although not in the same combat gear that Andrew wore. She didn't need as much protection as he did. But today, I want to drive.
Andrew grinned.
Fine, you can drive, but keep it under 25 then. I don't want to crash, even with all this stuff on. I've got enough bruises as it is.
I won't crash, Feline sounded offended. I listen when you tell me what to do, you know. And I've been practicing in the parking lot.
You have?
Andrew looked surprised.
When was this?
Some of the afternoons, where we split up. I'll go home a little early and I practice driving. There's another bike in one of the garages. It doesn't go very fast, but I've been practicing with it anyway.
Wow. Sorry I doubted you. In that case, be my guest and drive. I won't say a word.
Feline smirked and went to the front door. The many locks and bolts took her about 30 seconds to unlock and remove before she could open the door and let the warm air flow inside. The street outside was empty of people, as far as the eye could see. A few abandoned and wrecked cars were still parked along the side of the street, but no one had moved them in a long time. Cracks had appeared in many of the house fronts and in the pavement on the street. Green plants had grown from the gardens, yards, and flower pots and spread over the sidewalks. The bushes and trees had grown wild enough that the city looked like it was beginning to go back to nature. Everywhere flowers bloomed, and the scent of them was sweet and summery on the breeze. Andrew took a deep breath.
You know, even if most of the citizens of California are undead at this point, even if almost nothing works, I still get excited that it's about to be summer. I love the smell of flowers in this city. I'm so glad I came here.
Well, if you hadn't, you wouldn't have met me.
Feline was striding down over the porch of the house where their apartment was located. It was on 14th Avenue and had once been a good-looking house, but was now looking slightly worse for wear. No maintenance had been done to it since California had given up maintaining any kind of normal society, and it didn't look like the crisis would ever be solved. The president talked about solutions on TV sometimes, but mostly Andrew felt that California, Washington, and Oregon had already been written off the map as far as the president was concerned. None of them had voted for him anyway, so why should he use any money to help them? Andrew checked on the generator next to the house. It was still almost halfway full, but they would soon need to go out and find more gas for it. It was becoming a little more difficult each time, since they weren't the only ones in the city that needed it. Most of what they had used in the last few months he'd gotten from an old car park, where he had siphoned it from the parked cars. He unlocked the garage and pulled the motorcycle out. He had long ago given up spending time polishing it to the chrome shine that the Harley deserved, but the bike still looked and felt powerful, even if it was a little dusty. Feline put on her helmet and straddled the bike, grabbing the handlebars. Andrew put on his helmet, got on behind her, and put his arms around her waist.
"Ready?"
she asked, her voice muffled by the helmet.
"I was born ready."
Andrew put both feet up and let Feline push the kickstand back. Her foot pumped once, and the Harley started with a roar.
"A little less throttle!"
Andrew shouted, but realized he was speaking only to himself. Feline gave a howl of pleasure and put the bike in gear, banking smoothly onto the street and away from the apartment. Andrew couldn't help but smile. This was why he loved her, after all. She was wild, different, in some ways like a child, but in others very much a woman. The bike moved easily between the abandoned cars that littered most of the streets in the city. Andrew looked to his left over the Presidio as the bike roared past. There were still people there. He could see a few moving around on the golf course, which had been made into vegetable gardens and grazing land. Most living people stuck together in groups. It was safer, and the Presidio had plenty of solid buildings where the vampires couldn't make their way in as easily. He had also seen sheep grazing in the park once, but he didn't know if they belonged to any of the groups living there. He and Feline had chosen to live on their own instead of joining one of the small communities. They would have been welcomed in, he was sure, but the moment Feline let her guard down and showed signs of being something else than human, she would be kicked out again, if she was lucky. The remaining humans of California didn't take kindly to supernatural creatures, even if they were not vampires. He doubted a frightened mob would treat her any better than your average bloodsucker. There was also no need. They managed fine on their own. Feline handled the bike very well, and he could relax and enjoy the scenery. The water in the bay glimmered dazzlingly at the foot of the hills, but Andrew could see most of the burned-out storefronts by Fisherman's Wharf as ugly black shadows at the water's edge. The touristy places had, for some reason, been hit the worst, almost like the vampires had been offended at the atmosphere of commercialism that reigned around the old wharf. Now, the neon lights were dark, and the buildings housed nothing but the occasional rat. The drive to North Beach would, in the old days, have taken them less than 20 minutes, but the streets were no longer as clear of obstructions as they used to be. Many times, they had to detour around empty cars in the street, trash or broken glass. At least they knew most of the bigger obstacles, overturned trees or large holes in the road, by heart, after having driven around the city as long as they had. Even so, Feline liked to go over the top of hills and make the bike jump off the road, which made Andrew a little sick to his stomach when he was not the one driving. They also had to make sure not to drive past the Trans-America Pyramid. That was the center of vampire activity, and due to the deep shadows around the tower, vampires were often outside and patrolling in daylight. Andrew didn't think they would attack them when they roared past on the bike, but it never hurt to be careful and avoid the place. Instead, they cut through Chinatown, where there was also still signs of human life. Some of the stores even looked like they had merchandise in them, and Andrew made a mental note to return here later and check it out. He might be able to barter for some herbs and spices. If they had more salt, he could kill a couple of deer and prepare them for the winter. Eventually, they arrived at the edge of North Beach, and Feline pulled in front of the old Beat Museum at the top of the hill. She stopped the bike and got off, looking up at the museum for only a moment before grabbing her weapons from the bags in the basket. She had two long knives, which she put in a cross sheath on her back. She didn't really need them. Her claws were actually far more efficient, but it felt good to carry weapons as Andrew did. She also didn't wear the same kind of armor he did, since it would be in the way when she changed shape. Andrew's homemade armor consisted mostly of an old SWAT body armor and a bulletproof vest. He had extra protection around his neck and smaller metal plates on his inner thighs to protect the arteries there. Most vampires went for the throat, Even though it was a movie cliché, they all seemed to believe that was the most efficient way of drinking someone. But on the off chance that one of them had actually understood how much easier it was to drink from a person's thigh, he wanted to be prepared. He carried a katana sword in a sheath, as well as several knives and 3 homemade firebombs in his belt. "You ready?" he said, hanging the helmet on the bike's handle. He disliked wearing a helmet when they went on their killing expeditions, even though he knew it would be safer for him. He felt like someone could sneak up on him easier if his ears were covered and his vision impaired by a visor. "Ready." Feline began to walk down the street, almost strolling. She looked at home here, and suddenly he remembered that she had once told him she used to live around here.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Andrew had never met Feline's father, who had died before he came to San Francisco, but she had told him stories about how he had tried using spells to protect his home, only to be attacked on the street by a vampire gang one night. This was before the state had been turned into a disaster zone, and before the politicians, police, and any other sensible people had left. Feline had been all alone in the world, and had she not met him one day when he had been out hunting, he was sure she would have gone back to the woods and become a feral cat again. She had nothing to keep her here, except trying to track down her father's killers, and he had helped her do just that. After that, they had continued their partnership. The romantic side had... He figured that grown was the wrong word to use, since it had been there from the very first time they saw each other, but it had started as something more primal. The need to connect with someone human, or in her case, part human, on a physical level, feeling alive, even when the combat high wore off. Emotions had grown, bloomed into love. Today, he couldn't imagine a life without her. Andrew caught up with her and grabbed her shoulder. "Hey, keep your focus. There should be several nests of them around here. Don't just walk in the middle of the street like that."
"There is no one around right now. Relax."
She cocked her head.
"I've got all senses open."
"Fine. Let's go." They began moving down the street with Feline in the lead, her eyes and ears alert for any sound around them. Most vampires would be asleep, or at least indoors, during a bright sunny day, but you never knew. Sometimes one of them would surprise you by acting human, and even though they didn't like to walk around in sunlight, they could do it. On the corner of Battery and Vallejo, Feline paused. She sniffed the air and then signaled him forward. She pointed to a restaurant on the right side of the street. The windows were boarded up, and the house looked every bit as broken down as the rest of the street.
"What is it?" he asked. "I hear at least 4 of them in there. Smell them, too. Plus there's food. I think someone's actually cooking."
"You sure it's not humans?"
"I can tell the difference,"
Feline said, putting her nose up.
"I would know 100 feet away."
"All right. 4 of them, you say. We should be able to handle that. Want to scout around for a back door?"
"No need. I know the house. There's only the one way in and out, and that's the front door. I used to go through the garbage cans sometimes when I was living here."
"Okay. Then there's nowhere for them to run." Andrew drew his sword, his face getting the expression Feline called his killing smile. "Let's go." They crossed the street in a run, Feline changing shape as she moved. Her body grew and stretched, her arms and hands becoming paws with long, sharp claws. When she did this, she looked more than ever like a movie werewolf, which, on occasion, had made Andrew refer to their expeditions as Dracula meets the Wolfman. Her eyes became cat's eyes, seeing things in much clearer details. Her nose became even more sensitive than it already was. Andrew ran to the door of the restaurant and kicked it in. It yielded with a splintering crunch, and they were inside. Four vampires, three men and a woman, were seated around a table, almost as if they had been regular people. On the table were cards, glasses, and everything you would expect from friends spending a night together and having fun. Spread out on a table by the wall was the setup of a brunch buffet. Andrew knew that vampires often still enjoyed eating, even if they didn't need to do it anymore, but even so, he hesitated for a brief moment. They looked very human as they turned in their chairs in surprise and stared at the two intruders. It didn't last long, though. With the element of surprise still on their side, Andrew slashed his katana from left to right and with a single cut decapitated one of the men. He didn't even have time to swallow the food he had in his mouth, but when the head came off, Andrew could see the fangs as the man's mouth flew open. Something about the move, the way he moved his arm and the motion of the sword, made Andrew think for a split second about a dream he'd had. A man with a sword, moving gracefully and elegantly, cutting the head off something. But he didn't have time to think about that now. Feline leaped at the second man, both hands outstretched, and sunk her claws into his throat. Her powerful muscles flexed, and she yanked the head clean off his shoulders, before leaping up on the table and going for the woman. Andrew loved the way she moved, her fluid and lightning-fast attacks and parries that made the fight seem more like a dance than a brawl. He focused his attention on the last man, who had pushed his chair back and now was on his feet, charging at him. Andrew swung his sword, but the man dodged his attack, rolled to the side, and grabbed hold of one of the restaurant chairs that was stacked against the wall. He threw it at Andrew, who had to raise his other arm to block it, letting the man get close to him. "They're so damn fast," Andrew thought, as he felt the man collide with his armor and was pushed back against the wall. The man, the vampire, really, now there was very little concealing the monster underneath the normal appearance, opened his mouth, showing the fangs, and tried to get his fingers behind Andrew's neck guard. Andrew pushed back from the wall, using his left arm to hold the vampire away while twisting the sword in his hand. At this range, he couldn't cut the vampire's head off, but he could still bring the blade between them. The vampire's hot and horrible breath was washing over him as they struggled, but Andrew knew he didn't have to hold out very long. Suddenly, the vampire was yanked back from him and thrown to the floor by a very pissed-off Feline. "Don't you touch him!" she yelled, while letting her claws cut through the vampire's shirt and chest underneath. "He's my boyfriend!" Andrew couldn't help but smile. It was so much like her to make declarations of affection while killing someone. It didn't take her long to finish the vampire off, and when she got up, she was panting excitedly. "That was fun!" "I don't know if fun is the word I'd use," Andrew said, rubbing the back of his head, which had hit the wall. "But it definitely felt good. Come on. Let's check to see if there's anyone else hiding in the back, and then get out of here. It stinks of fried eggs, and I can't stand fried eggs." The search didn't last more than a few minutes. The four vampires had obviously lived comfortably in the restaurant, back room, and apartment above. "Let's go get something to eat," he said, as they put the bodies out on the street and he took one of the firebombs out. "What do you say? There are still some sandwiches in the bag from yesterday." "Sounds good," Feline poured lighter fluid over the bodies.
Although I could do with something a bit more meaty.
You'll have to go catch a fish, then.
Works for me. We're not that far from the water, anyway.
Andrew stepped back and then threw the firebomb at the bodies, turning them into a bonfire in an instant. He had done this so often that it didn't even affect him anymore, even the smell, which had taken some getting used to.
"Excuse me,"
a voice behind them said. Both Andrew and Feline whirled about, Feline beginning her transformation again. She had turned fully human as they dragged the bodies out. A man was standing in the middle of the street. He was tall, blonde, and slender, wearing jeans and a blue shirt, but Andrew didn't recognize him. He didn't look like a vampire, though.
"Who the hell are you?"
Andrew asked.
"My name's Howard Bruce, Mr. Picard, and I'm here to talk to you about your friend Jim. You see, there's been a terrible misunderstanding. This world wasn't supposed to be this way."
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.